This is Macro Observer. I'm your analyst. And what we're witnessing this week isn't just another geopolitical shift. It's the acceleration of systemic fracture across multiple theaters simultaneously. Let me start with the most revealing development, one that tells us everything about where we are in this global transition. Xi Jinping has just executed the most comprehensive military purge since the aftermath of Tiananmen Square. We're talking about 101 senior People's Liberation Army officials eliminated since 2022, with a dramatic acceleration in 2025 alone, 62 officials purged in recent months. But here's what makes this truly extraordinary. 87% of three-star generals and admirals who've served from 2022 onward are now under investigation. 32 of the 35 generals that Xi personally promoted now face prosecution. Think about what that means. This isn't routine anti-corruption house cleaning. Xi is dismantling his own appointees, including close allies like Zhang Yuxia. The Central Military Commission, China's supreme military authority, now consists solely of Xi and one political commissar with zero operational experience. Currently, 79% of tracked senior positions remain vacant, filled by interim leaders or have completely unknown status. The Joint Staff Department, which is critical for large-scale operations, has lost its chief and four deputies. The Southern Theater Command, responsible for potential Taiwan operations, has been completely gutted. The strategic calculus here is profound. In the near term, this creates severe readiness gaps for complex joint operations. The PLA's highly centralized structure means these vacant senior positions create bottlenecks that simply cannot be bypassed through delegation. But more critically, this reveals Xi's internal assessment, that incremental reform has failed, that he concluded the entire system is, quote, rotten to its core, requiring complete reconstruction. This mirrors Stalin's 1937-38 purges that severely degraded Soviet military effectiveness right before World War II. Xi appears willing to accept temporary military vulnerability to ensure absolute political control. He's betting he can rebuild loyal forces before facing external challenges. The 18-month timeline to the 2026 Party Congress suggests Xi is preparing succession management rather than responding to immediate threats. He's eliminating potential power bases that could complicate future transitions. But here's the second-order effect that should concern every defense planner. U.S. military-to-military communication channels are now disrupted precisely when crisis management capabilities matter most. If another balloon incident occurs tomorrow, it's genuinely unclear who would respond on the Chinese side. Meanwhile, inexperienced interim commanders face extreme risk aversion. They may either delay critical decisions or overreact to demonstrate loyalty. Both scenarios dramatically escalate crisis probability in the Taiwan Strait. Now, while China reveals internal vulnerability through purges, Ukraine is demonstrating capabilities that fundamentally alter regional power dynamics. On February 23rd, Ukrainian forces struck the Kalianko oil pumping station in Tatarstan, demonstrating autonomous drone capabilities reaching 1,200 kilometers deep into Russian territory. Six direct hits on a facility that processes 30% of Russia's oil exports, approximately $88 million in daily revenue, created cascading disruptions throughout the entire Druzhba pipeline network. This occurred while Ukraine simultaneously recaptured 400 square kilometers in the southeast, the fastest territorial recovery rate in over 2 years. The confluence matters enormously. Ukraine now demonstrates both offensive ground capability and deep strike economic targeting, while Russia faces its worst energy revenue performance in 5 years. Let me explain the kill chain logic here. Russia must now defend vast internal territory against Ukrainian deep strikes, forcing air defense redeployments from operational theaters. Moscow faces an impossible trade-off: protect military industrial targets or defend Moscow and St. Petersburg. Ukrainian strikes systematically exploit this dilemma, targeting energy infrastructure that generates war-making revenue while simultaneously degrading Russia's operational capacity through defensive dispersal. But Ukrainian intelligence chief Budanov identifies the psychological impact as the primary achievement. He states, quote, "The Russian people's belief that they live in a safe country has been broken. This strikes at core autocratic legitimacy. Putin's fundamental promise has always been guaranteeing internal security. No Russian energy infrastructure can now be considered safe, forcing population-wide recognition that the war has tangible domestic costs beyond casualties." Meanwhile, Russia's economic foundations are cracking under this systematic targeting. The federal budget deficit hit $22.3 billion in January alone, against a planned annual deficit of $49.4 billion. That means Russia burned through nearly half its planned annual deficit in a single month. Regional budget deficits have tripled year over year, oil and gas revenues declined 40%, and for the first time since the conflict began, recruitment funding has been completely exhausted.
January 2026 marked the first month Russian military losses, 44,000, exceeded recruitment capacity of 35 to 40,000. Yet despite this deteriorating position, Russia has maintained unchanged maximalist demands for 11 months. Ukraine made significant concessions in March 2025, accepting a current frontline freeze, but Russia hasn't reciprocated despite mounting pressure. The timing suggests Russia leadership either fundamentally miscalculates its strategic position or faces domestic constraints preventing any realistic policy adjustments. Building on that pattern of diplomatic rigidity, North Korea's Ninth Party Congress just definitively removed denuclearization from any diplomatic framework. This represents the most explicit rejection of negotiation premises that have governed discussions since the 1990s. The key declarations include secured deterrence capabilities, hints at resuming nuclear testing after 9 years, establishment of integrated nuclear crisis response systems, and permanent enemy status designation for South Korea. The report explicitly states, quote, "For at least the near future, there simply is no more talking about denuclearization." More significantly, it frames nuclear weapons as constitutional fixtures, while offering conditional U.S. dialogue contingent on accepting this reality. That's obviously a non-starter for American policy. The strategic calculation in Pyongyang appears to be this. Global power dynamics are shifting favorably, with what they call like-minded countries, meaning Russia and China, though they don't name them, potentially challenging the imperialist world order. The timing aligns perfectly with Russia's isolation driving deeper DPRK cooperation, South Korea's conservative administration taking a tougher stance, and perceived U.S. strategic distraction across multiple theaters. This dynamic resembles 1960s and 70s Vietnam, where Hanoi and Quay concluded as U.S. to constraints and international pressures would eventually force American concessions regardless of military capabilities. North Korea appears to be betting that multipolarity creates sufficient strategic space for nuclear normalization while great powers manage other priorities. The explicit South Korea enemy designation raises conflict probability through border provocations. Meanwhile, enhanced Russia cooperation provides sanctioned circumvention pathways, meaning military technology development continues despite economic constraints. The conditional U.S. opening creates diplomatic theater opportunities while ensuring substantive negotiations remain impossible. Which brings us to the American factor in this multipolar fracture. The United States is experiencing simultaneous institutional stress across multiple dimensions. Trump's approval ratings have reached historic lows for this presidential stage. The Supreme Court struck down his tariff authority, forcing longer Section 301 processes, and domestic chaos is increasingly undermining alliance management capabilities. Stephen Walt's concept of predatory hegemony captures what's happening. America now extracts short-term gains from allies through threats and coercion, rather than maintaining asymmetric but sustainable partnerships. The Greenland territorial threat against Denmark exemplifies this transformation. Denmark was previously the most pro-American European state. Now Danish military intelligence lists the United States as a potential threat. Measure the decline this way. Pew Global Survey data shows U.S. favorable ratings lead China by just one country across 24 surveyed nations, with trends strongly favoring Beijing. This represents catastrophic soft power erosion from the unipolar moment. More critically, allies are taking concrete hedging actions. Canada signed its first Indonesia trade deal. The EU concluded agreements with India and Mercosur. European defense planning now explicitly factors in American unreliability. In Southeast Asia, a region driving more global growth than China and controlling critical maritime choke points, both superpowers are now viewed as, quote, necessary but dangerous partners. Vietnam, despite being explicitly China skeptical, has opened unprecedented sensitive sectors, including 5G, high-speed rail, and rare earths to Chinese investment, while simultaneously negotiating U.S. critical minerals agreements. This demonstrates forced hedging behavior. EU trade agreements with Southeast Asia represent emerging tripolarity, with Europe positioning as a third pole while both superpowers struggle with regional relationships. This pattern, allies building relationships that exclude both competitors, suggests systemic transformation beyond simple bilateral rebalancing. Let me synthesize what these converging developments mean for the system as a whole. We're witnessing self-reinforcing cycles towards accelerated multipolarity. America's predatory approach pushes allies towards hedging strategies that reduce U.S. leverage, which creates incentives for even more coercive extraction, which further accelerates hedging. Meanwhile, China positions itself as the stable alternative while systematically filling diplomatic space America vacates. Russia's economic crisis forces deeper Chinese dependence, creating an asymmetric relationship that Beijing benefits. North Korea's nuclear normalization creates proliferation precedents that weaken non-proliferation regimes globally. The most dangerous scenario involves simultaneous crises exploiting these vulnerabilities. Imagine a Taiwan Strait incident during U.S.-allied friction over trade demands, or a North Korean provocation while U.S.-South Korean alliance coherence is being questioned, or Russian escalation while European unity faces Hungarian obstruction, or PLA leadership vacuum creating Chinese command and control failures during the crisis. Any combination creates compounding effects where normal crisis management mechanisms fail catastrophically. More importantly, we're seeing emerging authoritarian coordination. The Russia-China-Iran-North Korea axis demonstrates increasing coordination through arms transfers, sanctions evasion, and diplomatic support. This isn't a formal alliance, but rather convergent interests creating de facto cooperation. Ukraine receives North Korean ammunition through Russia. Iran provides drones. China supplies dual-use technology and financial mechanisms. The pattern suggests systemic transformation of the global order. Meanwhile, American withdrawal from over 60 international organizations while leaving diplomatic posts unfilled creates leadership vacuums China systematically fills. Standard-setting organizations increasingly reflect Chinese preferences. Technology ecosystems are bifurcating with different rule sets. Financial systems are fragmenting as dollar weaponization accelerates de-dollarization efforts. The liberal international order doesn't collapse suddenly. It erodes through accumulating defections and institutional decay. Historical parallels to 1948 Cold War onset or the interwar period breakdown suggest we're witnessing fundamental order transition rather than cyclical great power competition. However, unlike those precedents, current transitions occur within unprecedented economic interdependence and institutional frameworks that could either constrain destructive competition or amplify it through weaponization. The macro observer's advantage lies in connecting developments across seemingly separate theaters. Xi's purge affects Taiwan crisis management. Ukrainian deep strikes influence Russian negotiating positions.